Happy Saturday, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, playing Jay Leno to Alan Karpik's Johnny Carson here. I'm standing in as host this week while Alan spans the globe, spreading joy around the world here. He's on a little vacation, so I'm just standing in. This is your GoldenBlack.com Saturday simulcast. Me and my colleague Tom Beanhart here to talk about Purdue football for anywhere between 15 and 78 minutes, most likely. This is brought to you once again, as always, by our sponsor, the Purdue Union Club Hotel. The Union Club Hotel at Purdue is a Travel and Leisure World's Best Hotel nominee. Voting is open, so visit PurdueUnionClubHotel.com for more details and to show your Purdue pride. Don't just vote in that poll, but check out the photos of their facility. Really nice. Football season's coming up. If you need a place to stay on a Friday night before a Purdue home game on a Saturday, we have a recommendation for you. So we will dive right in here to Purdue football. Tom, there's a line in Christmas Vacation, the famous Chevy Chase movie, obviously. You've all heard of it, where Clark Griswold says to Cousin Eddie that, you know, he wouldn't have been more surprised if he woke up with his face sewn to the carpet or something like that. And I think that was my reaction when I saw that Samson James committed to Purdue today, the transfer running back from Indiana. What do you make all this?
Yeah, I mean, a heck of a great pickup, a four-star recruit who I'm sure listeners are familiar with as they all follow recruiting. Avon, Indiana, was committed to Ohio State at one point, settled on Indiana and, had minimal impact there. I'm sure for a variety of reasons. I think he had some fumbling issues. There were some changes on the coaching staff as well. So there may have been some political things involved within the position room too. Who knows? I'm just speculating there. But still, Brian, a nice pickup to a running back room that needed some juice. You know, we tracked the portal all offseason, and we know, and viewers know, that Purdue was hot on the trail of a few running backs but could never land one out of the portal. I'm like you. I didn't expect one to come this late in the game.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a good one. Certainly looks like a guy who was worth the wait. I guess, though, the $64,000 question that hangs over Samson James is, when can he play, right?
Yeah.
And from what you and I both have come to understand, it would seem that some sort of a waiver is going to need to be granted for James to be eligible this fall. So, long story short, we may have to wait till 2022 before we see his debut. But I'm sure there's still some hope, Brian, that he can get on the field this year. I seem to think it may be a long shot. I'm sure we'll find out something here shortly officially. But, yeah, regardless of 2021 or 2022, this is a guy that's going to bring some juice, I think, to that Purdue backfield.
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting deal, and I just don't know where that path would be to immediate eligibility, because even if he has some sort of claim he can make for a waiver, I'm not even sure the NCAA committee can convene to hear his case right now. I just don't think that that's a possibility, but I also don't think it's all that big a deal, because are you really going to bring a kid in on August 13th or August 14th, August 15th after a week of camp and expect him to be ready to help you right away? Purdue did look for immediate help at running back in the transfer wire all offseason. I think they're okay with King DeRue and Xander Horvath as long as those guys are healthy. That's obviously the big case, the big question here. But if you can get Samson James in your program, let him learn for a year. There's nothing wrong with, you know, sitting guys out and them waiting their turns from a player development and acclimation perspective. So seems like a guy who's worth a shot here. It's weird when a kid moves from Indiana to Purdue, or if a kid were ever to move from Purdue to Indiana, it'd be like when the Yankees signed Johnny Damon away from the Red Sox or Jacoby Ellsbury away from the Red Sox. It just seems so unnatural.
Yeah,
but that's the game nowadays. And what I think this is Purdue's ninth transfer or something like that. Obviously, this one may not be eligible right away, but this is the game nowadays, guys. It's the old transaction column in the Sports Agate page from back when, you know, there were such thing as a newspaper when we were kids. Just a really interesting deal. So kind of moving along here, talking about some guys who've been on campus prior. You know, it seems like every year we're talking about the quarterback position at Purdue, because it's sort of a rite of August where we're sitting here wondering who Purdue's quarterback is going to be. And then a rite of September, who the next quarterback's going to be after the first one gets hurt. That's just kind of the nature of the position at Purdue for the better part of the last decade. I've always thought personally that there's something about Aiden O'Connell that this coaching staff is drawn toward. I thought that them starting him to open last season was a big tell in terms of something about Aiden O'Connell that really speaks to what these coaches value. I like Jack Plummer personally a lot. I like Aiden O'Connell a lot for Purdue. But I've always thought it would be O'Connell. Tom, you've been the one, paying the closest attention while sweating through your clothing out at football practice. So what's your kind of sense on that position as of right now? Obviously a very important one and one that's always been filled with drama.
Yeah, real quick to backtrack a little bit, Brian, it's 10 transfers, I think, for Purdue, 6 on defense, 3 on offense, and a kicker from Samford. So in the second transfer from Indiana this year, of course, DeMonte Lewis, the defensive tackle. But I digress and get off track. The quarterback spot, yeah, what a lightning rod as far as attention goes and interest across the nation at every school. Who's going to be your quarterback? And that's a question that's hung over Purdue's program, Brian. In training camp, 4 of the 5 years Jeff Brohm's been on campus. The only year they commenced camp and knew who their guy was, it was 2019. Elijah Sinlar was without a doubt the Purdue quarterback that year. So here we are again. And this year it's Plummer versus O'Connell part two. And of course, Aiden O'Connell won this derby last year. And there's a lot to like about Aiden, Brian. You're spot on. He's a guy who's liked in the locker room. He's a guy who I know the staff really thinks throws the ball very well. Brian, I think it was telling last year at Purdue's Pro Day when Rondale Moore asked for Aiden O'Connell to be the guy to throw him the ball during his workouts. And those two had never played a game together. If you go back and look at it, think about it. That's how much Rondale Moore thought about Aiden O'Connell's ability to throw the football. The big but with old AOC, of course, is he's slow. He's not a guy who can really extend plays with his feet, not really mobile. You look at Jack Plummer. Jack's had 9 starts in his career, and he can throw the ball well. He's a big guy. He looks the part. He's smart. He's popular in the locker room. But, Brian, I think maybe the one difference, the one tangible trait that he has that Aiden doesn't is that ability to be a little elusive, to buy time in the pocket. And if you listen and talk to Coach Brohm or Jeff Brohm at all in the offseason, he often mentioned that they wanted that quarterback to be some semblance of a running threat. He really thought that position needed to provide that threat to defenses. We all know the need and desire for this offense to run the ball better. The last 2 years, it's been last in the Big Ten. They're looking for anything they can to give them an edge on the ground. And while you're really splitting hairs with O'Connell and Plummer, I think the one extra couple of hairs, if you will, that I think could end up giving Jack Plummer the edge in this thing is that ability to move a little bit and buy time and also execute some design runs.
I think it's so important nowadays your quarterback be mobile, not only because the pass rushers are so damn good. Mm-hmm. The corners, in a lot of cases, at the highest levels of college football especially, are so good. I think it adds another aspect to a lot of people's running games. I think a lot of coaches view the quarterback run, too, as a way of holding down turnovers a little bit because if the ball's not in the air, the ball's not getting intercepted. So I do think that this coaching staff obviously really values that, as a lot of coaching staffs do. It's not like Purdue's unique in that regard. And I've always agreed with you that Jack Plummer has the advantage there, obviously. What about Austin Burton? What's his deal right now? Because they recruited him last year as a transfer, and you don't recruit transfers to, typically to hold clipboards. He didn't have much of a chance last year because he came in late, and then obviously there was the whole pandemic issue. Perhaps you've heard. But now, he's had time to, kind of get acclimated at Purdue. Does he have a chance to play a role in this whole thing?
Real X factor. Number 12, the UCLA transfer, didn't play a snap last year. I sort of think, Brian, if the season had not been truncated so quickly, that we may have seen some of Austin Burton late last year. But, of course, that didn't unfold. Purdue's last couple of games got canceled. So he never did get to take that first snap as a Boilermaker. I say keep him on your radar. And I know the coaches say all the right things when we talk to him about it. It's not just a two-man race. Right. Austin Burton is very much in the thick of this thing. And Jeff Brohm and Brian Brohm have both said, Brian, that they would feel very comfortable with either of those three guys running their offense. So maybe we're all selling Aiden or Austin Burton a little short here in this whole derby, not giving him his due or his just due. Maybe we'll all be surprised. I still think it's going to be between Plummer and O'Connell, but who knows? You've watched a lot of football and covered a lot of football, and crazier things have happened. Maybe there's a chance we see some of Austin Burton at some point if this offense bogs down or looks for a spark. Because without a doubt, my friend, of these three quarterbacks, Austin Burton is the most athletic. And he's got a nice arm, too. He's only started one game back at UCLA, so his experience in games is minimal. But again, that ability to be elusive and athletic in the pocket, there's not a quarterback on Purdue's roster right now who's more equipped to make things happen with his feet than Austin Burton.
You know, I love the word derby. I like the word derby better than competition, and I certainly like it better than quarterback controversy. I think we need to normalize derby.
All right. Wear a derby while we say it.
It's like back when we were kids. I don't know if you were in Boy Scouts or whatever, but what were those things, Pinewood Derby or something like that, where you made the little wooden car that looked like a wooden shoe that went down the – anyway. So we just got done talking about Austin Burton, who's a transfer who may or may not play this year. We will see a lot of transfers on the field for Purdue this year, whether they're ready or not. Tom, can you kind of take us through the transfer landscape right now, how those guys are fitting in and where you see the greatest impact coming from the legion of transfers Purdue brought in, both in the spring and the summer, and in Samson James' case, today?
It's a lengthy list. It's kind of fun, actually. I was thinking about this today, how the portal really helps programs like Purdue. If you can go out and get guys and guarantee them chances to play right away, and you can get some good players on the bounce, as they say. And I think Purdue's gotten some good players on the bounce. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, there's a few that have caught my eye, and I think fans will want to keep them on their radar as well. And defensively, to start with, Brian, number 20, O.C. Brothers, the Auburn linebacker. He started to make some waves in the spring. He got to West Lafayette in time for spring football and really played well, according to Jeff Brohm when he spoke during spring drills. So OC hit the ground running in March, and he's continued that in training camp. He's not the biggest guy. They list him at 6'2", 220, 225. I'm not sure if he's 6'2", but it doesn't matter. He's fast. And right now, Brian, he's a first-team linebacker. He's your Will linebacker. And I think he's a guy that's going to run all over the field and make plays. He can cover. He's covered wide receivers in practice. So he's a guy that doesn't have to come off the field in any down and distance situation. A real playmaker. Number 17, Chris Jefferson, Division II player from Findlay College. I know people roll their eyes when you talk about a Division II player. How's this guy going to make an impact in the Big Ten? Well, I think he's going to make an impact. Great kid to talk to. He's full of confidence. Was a standout at that level, at that D2 level with Findlay. And he's a ball hawk, Brian. He's smart. He's a quarterback in the secondary. He's not a starter right now, but I think he's going to play a lot of football. He couldn't end up getting on the field as a starter eventually. He's a guy I know the staff likes a lot as well. And, of course, I'll give you one third one here. I could go on and on about these guys. But Brock Thompson, the wide receiver from Marshall, my goodness. This is a kid who Purdue wasn't looking for a wide receiver in the portal. They were pretty well set there, even though they lost a couple in the offseason. But Brock Thompson was too good to pass up. Brock Thompson's an Indianapolis kid who wanted to come back home because he has a younger brother who's ill with cancer, wanted to be closer to his family. And it was a match made in heaven, long story short. Comes with a great athletic family. He's a very humble guy. Hard worker, older kid, got out of high school in 2017. He's not a burner. There's nothing about him physically that's going to jump out at you. But you know what, Brian? I think he's one of those guys that just finds a way to get open and make catches. Yeah, I think he's going to be very productive. So Brock Thompson, number 29. Circle him in your program when you settle in your seat the night of September 4th for that opener against the Beavers.
You know, it's a really underrated characteristic for players and receivers, especially energy. And I think Brock Thompson's got kind of an energy about him. And, you know, David Bell was, I know David Bell's always wanted to play with him. And he was talking at Big Ten Media Day about how he's helped him with his technical stuff, his technique, I guess would be the proper way to put that. So I think there's a lot of know-how there too. Mm-hmm. Brock Thompson just strikes me as a guy who can just walk in here and be pretty productive. And yeah, as you said, Purdue wasn't looking for a wide receiver, but that doesn't mean there's not an opening for somebody to come in and be really productive. And Brock Thompson seems like a good substance sort of guy, if nothing else. You know, every year with the secondary, it feels like we need corners. We need a new secondary in general. Last year, Purdue, when I say we, I mean Purdue, of course. Last year, Purdue went out and recruited Javonte Howard and
DJ Johnson.
DJ Johnson and who's the kid from UConn, the safety, Tyler Coyle.
Yeah.
And obviously you didn't get a whole season out of Tyler Coyle. Javonte Howard and DJ Johnson gave you next to nothing. And now they're trying again here with Chris Jefferson, Jamari Brown. Mm-hmm. And how do you see the secondary shaping up? I guess is what the question I'm meandering toward, because it's a yearly process here trying to put a fresh coat of paint on that thing. And, you know, it hasn't really worked for a while.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, of the three levels of the Purdue defense, that's the one that concerns me the most. I think there's talent and depth up front and at linebacker, but that secondary would cause me to wring my hands a little bit. I will say this, I do like the safeties. There's not great depth at that position, but I'll tell you what, if they keep Marvin Grant healthy, Brian, couple him with Cam Allen, those are two nice starting safeties. And then we talked about Chris Jefferson and Sanusi Kane. That's a nice little foursome there at safety for Purdue, I think. Cornerback, to me, that does cause me some concern, because once you get beyond Dedrick Mackey, a fifth-year senior, and Corey Trice, a redshirt junior, it falls off pretty quick, my friend. That's where you need that Kentucky transfer you talked about, Jamari Brown, to really develop. And Brian, he hasn't been on the field that much so far in camp. He's been a little dinged up. He's been back out there more active the last couple of days, but they got to get him up to speed. He's got to be a factor this year in that secondary cornerback. And then you're looking at a guy like Anthony Rumpf, who's a redshirt freshman from Michigan. And Brian, he was mostly just a quarterback in high school, honestly.
Yeah.
Great athlete, but then they turned him into a cornerback when he got to Purdue.
He was committed to FAU as a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And Niles Beverly, I think today he wasn't even dressed. He hurt his knee earlier this week, and he's had some knee problems throughout his career, and there's a chance where this knee injury could really jeopardize his season. So you lose a guy who's going to give you some cornerback depth as well, potentially. So and then you're looking at some true freshmen. I don't think either guys like Brandon Callaway or Ricky Smith are really ready to be on the field this year, the two freshman cornerbacks for Purdue. So maybe a safety like Chris Jefferson can play a little bit of cornerback for him. And, Brian, this is also where it hurts Purdue, where they lost the other transfer they were supposed to get. Remember, they had C.J. McWilliams from Florida, who was going to be a super senior, was familiar with Ron English, who coached him at Florida. He was going to come in and be a nickelback and help at safety. And, of course, he hurt his eye in the offseason. His career's over. So we know Purdue kept looking for more help in the secondary through the portal and couldn't land it. But, again, that's the one position, buddy, where Purdue fans need to be a little concerned.
Those corners' best friends need to be George Karloftis and DeMarcus Mitchell. That's what I'm telling you right now, is Purdue's best corners might be their pass rush. And, you know, Purdue's not had a great pass rush over the years, but Karloftis and Mitchell can be a pretty formidable combo. And whatever Purdue can do schematically, I think, to generate pressure on the quarterback can make those corners a little bit better than they might be otherwise. But that's going to be a huge key to this season defensively for Purdue, as they have to get some things figured out from a defensive perspective. Tom, give me a couple guys here, or one guy, two guys, however many guys you want. We got unlimited time here. I mean, people, I'm sure, will listen to us talk endlessly on their Saturdays. A couple guys perhaps people haven't seen play yet perhaps young guys, whatever it might be, who might surprise people, who might, you know, kind of make a name for themselves here pretty quickly, you think?
Well, I'm gonna give you first a couple of true freshmen that may or may not play this year. Most likely not, but I think they've caught the eye of Purdue football watchers here early. Jaquez Cross, the running back from Arkansas. I tell you what, I know he's small, but he's awfully quick and awfully fast, and he brings that kind of juice that backfield needs, that extra gear, so to speak, a little elusive guy with that, you know, third or fourth gear. He caught my eye, and finally, Brian, the last couple of days, he's been fully padded up. The offensive lineman from Milwaukee, Marcus Bowe. Oh, I tell you what, he's a good-looking lineman. I think he's going to be a special offensive tackle when he finally fully develops. Number 63, keep an eye on him. He was a great basketball player in high school. He was committed to Arizona State. I know Iowa looked at him hard, too. He's a guy that sort of fell in Purdue's laps in some ways, and I think he could be pretty good. And I know you, like me, have been impressed by the two wide receivers, Preston Terrell and Deion Burks, who both look pretty good, catching a lot of balls. And Burks is another quick, shifty guy, too. And, of course, Johnny Karlaftis, you know, of all the freshmen, Brian, that's the one that's probably going to play.
Yeah.
Johnny's not going to start out of the gate, number 14, but he's going to play. He's probably the third-team strong side linebacker right now behind Jalen Graham and Clyde Washington. Yanni could continue to move his way up that depth chart. And I wouldn't be surprised too, Brian, if maybe they use him on passing downs just to go get the quarterback. And I think he's going to be a special teamer this year for sure. So I'm really excited about Yanni Karlaftis. Humble kid who's hungry, just like his older brother, George. He wants to be good.
Would the I've always wondered, is the plural of Karlaftis Karlaftises or Karlafti?
I say Karlafti.
We probably need some sort of style on that from an editorial perspective. But moving on, you know, I don't go to practice to pay as close attention as you do. Obviously, it's your job. I'm just out there to take bad photos, yak with people. And be seen if anybody wants to yell at me. But Mershon Rice jumps off the field at you.
Yeah.
I think he's just a really good looking player at wide receiver, and Sanusi Kane in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of impact is opportunity. And, you know, Sanusi Kane, you know, is coming out of redshirt this year. And if there's not an opportunity for him now, there's never going to be, because we've talked again about how Purdue's once again trying to piece together a secondary that I can rely on here. So those are the two guys I would pick out just from my,
yeah,
from my fussing and my fooling out there at practice.
Good choices.
So what's been your big, as Alan would say, what's the elevator pitch on Purdue training camp right now? He loves that term, man. I was just going to say, what's your quick thumbnail on training camp? What's kind of your big takeaway here?
Big takeaway is, the defense has been as aggressive as the coaching staff said it was going to be all the winter long and through spring football. This is the first time we've laid eyes on this team, and we heard about how aggressive the scheme was going to be, how attacking it was going to be, and it certainly has lived up to that. They're not going to be passive, Ryan. They're going to pin their ears back and come after offenses this year. Yes, they're going to allow their share of big plays, but they hope to make more big plays. They hope to make more turnovers. They hope to get off the field more consistently on third downs as well. They hope to pressure and sack quarterbacks more often. On and on I go, but they're not going to let offenses dictate things to them. They're going to get after it, and we've seen that again. The offensive players have talked about it too. We've asked them for their impressions of the defense, and they've said the same. They made it difficult on the offense. No big shock at the defense to hit the offense right now, but that offense, I mean, send that defense on, like I said, it's got some players, not a lot of depth, but those frontline players, I think, are very good. And not to be a Debbie Downer, I am worried about the offensive line. Let's make no bones about it. There's not much depth there. A lot of it got chipped away with these guys who suffered career-ending injuries. And in my assessment, Brian, they've got seven linemen that they feel comfortable playing. It's not a lot of linemen.
Another rite of training camp.
And the offensive line, you're just like the secondary. So, you know, they've been banged up all camp, buddy. couple guys were out today. And Dale Williams says they're going to get everybody healed up, their top seven guys. But, again, they've got to get those guys healthy. And Purdue's got to be better in those physical running situations in the red zone on third and one, on fourth and inches. When everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run the football, Brian, you sometimes, as they say, in every moment in every game, there's going to be a moment where you got to play Big Ten football. There's a moment where you're going to have to get your knuckles on the ground and get that tough yard. And then that's been a problem for Purdue, and they know it. And that's why they've got two offensive line coaches this year and continue to harp and try to develop that front.
I have exhausted all of my notes that I took here in my free gift from Big Ten Media Day.
Nice. Because, that was a nice gift, I thought.
Dear diary. So Alan always likes to try to make us look personable by finishing off these things with some banter. So to try to fool people into thinking we're actual real people and likable individuals, I'll ask you what you're watching on TV these days.
I got two shows, HBO Max, buddy. White Lotus.
I've heard that's good.
Small Town TV. Small Town TV reminds me a little bit of TV 18. It's about this tiny TV station. It's in this city called Ferrump, Nevada. It's like 60 miles outside of Las Vegas. But it's a fun little docuseries, 30-minute episodes, and just sort of shows how you got to wear multiple hats and there's always turnover. But it's kind of been a fun little junk food show for me. But again, White Lotus, Small Town News have been fun ones for me. What about you, buddy? What are you consuming right now?
I am watching El Chapo on Netflix, and I can't say I'm all that invested in it, but when I start something TV-wise, I have to see it through to the end. I think they might have originally made it in Spanish, and I think the English is dubbed over it, so it's kind of got like an old-time kung fu movie kind of thing going where the dialogue doesn't seem to match the tone of the characters and their manner of speaking, so it's a little bit clunky, but it's action-packed, and I it doesn't take a lot to entertain me. I'm going to watch the thing on the Pistons and the Pacers.
I watched that.
The Malice in the Palace here pretty soon. And then waiting for Succession to come back on HBO. And once that happens, or Ozark comes back on Netflix, once Succession comes back, I'll probably binge watch White Lotus too when I have HBO. I try to not have both Netflix and HBO at the same time. Not because I can't afford the $20, but because it's just I don't have enough time to watch TV to make both of them worthwhile. So I try to alternate between the two.
Yeah.
Nobody could possibly care about this. So I think we filled our quota for playful banter here. So I want to thank everybody for watching. Thank you for listening and all of that stuff. Alan will be back next week following his trip overseas to negotiate peace in the Middle East. Which I have no question. There's no question in my mind. He will achieve. So please keep in mind our sponsor, the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Check out their website at PurdueUnionClubHotel.com, and check out all of Tom's coverage today from Purdue's first scrimmage of training camp and all week next week as Purdue wraps up preseason practice here. Yeah. As always, you can join our website for a mere $10 a month, something along those lines. And I think if you're into this enough to have listened to us talk for the last 30 minutes, chances are you're going to find value in a membership to goldenblack.com. So if you're interested in that, there's tiles on all our stories. You can click to subscribe. You can email me at bnewbert@goldenblack.com. I can point you in the right direction, whatever it might be. So thanks a lot, everybody, for watching, and thank you for listening. And I never know how to end these damn things, and that's why I'm not the regular host. See everybody.